Welcome to Between the Margins on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. I'm Michelle Boyce.
And I'm Maha El-Sabawi.
And this is our Black History Month show, which is a topic that is near and dear to my heart, even though I am a white person. But I have had so many issues through my life with people that are very dear to me, falling prey to discrimination and harassment in ways that I just can't, as a person, tolerate. So when every year when Black History Month comes, you know, it's a big time for me as an ally to scream from the tallest mountain, you know, that, you know, my black friends and black people have contributed to some of the most amazing historic events in our country, and we should celebrate that.
And we should celebrate as people. We are, I mean, at the end of the day, regardless of your color, your race, your gender, we're all one. And that is actually one of the greatest things about living in Canada, is you feel that unity throughout everything, through the community, through history, through even through politics. You feel the unity. You feel like we have a voice. And I think especially at times like this, we have a black president now. And I think, as if I'm asking that, but I feel like that, even though, I mean, a lot of the issues are still, it's all very surface-based. There are still so many issues to tackle with race, with color, with gender. I think that is a humongous step forward. It's progress. So we should be looking forward to that.
We should. And Black History Month was proposed in Parliament and passed in
95.
In 95 by the first black...
She was the first black female MP. Her name was Jean Augustine, I think. That's how you pronounce it. I could be butchering that pronunciation.
I'm horrible with names anything besides Smith. I mean, even my own last name used to have two syllables, and I was done on my own name. So, you know, one of the things that always comes to mind is I grew up in East End London.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, my school had, you know, a pretty good mix of ethnic, race, etc. in the school. I mean, we were a onesie class, so, you know, we had one Chinese girl, we had one black boy, but we did have, you know, a wide range of ethnicities and races within our class, and everybody got along, and nobody had any issues around racism or anything else, you know. Leroy, the black student that was there, everybody loved him.
We were also kids, though. There were so many issues that we didn't... as children, one of the greatest things about kids is that they don't really sense that. They don't sense that a person is different. They sense that they're just another person. But to them, they can look beyond that. They don't have that filter. Whereas we do, I think, as adults, even the most liberal people, even the most open-minded people, sometimes they shock me because they say things that I think they truly just don't understand the history. We've become so desensitized to everything that's around us that we've just become to accept certain things as different. And we don't try to find them as, we don't try to look at them as a whole. And I think we kind of just segregate it and say, okay, well, that's different and I'm different, but that's okay, we're all one. But even that simple separation of it is still a form of discrimination. It's still a form of looking at things as different. And kids can't do that. Kids, if you play with me, then you're my friend. Whereas if you're an adult, you come talk to me, you better have, you know, an objective and everything. You have to have some kind of intention to where you're going with anything. And if you're different, I feel like you have to bring more into it. And I'm not just talking about obvious minorities. Even amongst white people, I mean, people are divided here by gender, and that was one of the things that when I came to this country was very, very, it's very obvious. I mean, I had a different experience from you. My school was we were all Arabs, but we were different Arabs, and that was in Saudi Arabia, but there was a lot of discrimination still. And then I come here and I say, okay, you know, this is a whole hodgepodge of people, And then, no, you get the gender identity crisis. And I think one of the greatest things about having a month like this and having this kind of awareness, it's not just bringing awareness to Black History Month. It's bringing awareness to everything that is different, everything that we, at one point, and maybe still, fear. And I think it's really great to tackle those issues head on instead of just saying, well, we live in a different time now. We're progressed. We're liberal. We're not.
No, we're not. And that naive bubble got burst for me. I lived in that, oh, everybody's the same and everybody's mm-hmm. equal world until I opened my first store. And I had a computer store and in South London. And I hired a Black man.
Mm-hmm.
And, he was the best qualified for the job, and I really didn't see color.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't, I was still in that, playground,
yeah.
You're my friend because we like each other stage. And, I was 18 years old, and I had this store, and I hired John, and, he was a hard worker, he was a great person, and, he came to work in a three-piece suit every single day to sell computers, and right away, people would walk in the front of the store, and then John would say, hi, welcome, and they would ignore him, they'd mm-hmm. walk past him, and they'd dig around the back bowels of the store looking for a white person to help them. And the first time it happened, I was shocked.
What year was that?
That was 1980s.
Yeah.
So it was, and I was in shock, and they came back to the store back and found me, and it's like, oh, hi, yeah, no, you must have missed John in the front. Me in my naive world. And then, oh, and they'd walk back out, and they'd take one look at John and walk out the front door.
Oh, it's very true. I can imagine that. And I think it is what we associate it with, right?
It was a huge eye-opener for me, and I had to have a staff meeting,
mm-hmm.
And I took all my staff in, and I said, okay, we have a problem here, okay? Mm-hmm. If someone walks past John in the front of that store and comes back and finds you, you do not help them. That's it.
Yeah.
Done. And John's like, well, you don't have to lose business because of me. And it's like, I don't want their business.
No, it's true, though. It's very true. And I think, looking at that problem and looking at it now, it could be different. They could walk into the store, see John, and talk to him. But I think even now, we try so hard to be politically correct that I don't think people realize when you're trying so hard to be politically correct, you're actually discriminating because you're choosing to overlook things that aren't even true about another person. You're choosing to kind of brush them under the carpet and just say, okay, or under the rug and just say, okay, I'm not gonna focus on that trait that I know exists, and I'm just gonna be very, very, very stern with this person. And that is a form of discrimination. And I think now, it's 2010, things will still be the same.
Absolutely. And I think we still have a long way to go and
mm-hmm.
and a short time to get there.
to steal that
phrase from a song. But yeah, so this is Black History Month, and we have two guests on the show today. We've got Carl Katagin, who is the media liaison for the Black History Month Organizing Committee, and we have Heather Taylor, who is an inspiring school teacher,
mm-hmm.
and she worked at the North American Black History Museum in Amherstburg. So she's going to fill us in on some of the history and some of the very important issues that bring us to where we are today with Black history.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get to Heather, we have Carl Katagin, and we have that interview now. So I'm on the phone with Carl Katagin, who is the media liaison for the Black History Month Organizing Committee here in London. How are you doing, Carl?
I'm good.
And we have Maha with us.
Hello.
Hi.
So, Carl, can you run down the basic history of Black History Month for us and the committee in London?
Well, the committee in London started at think about 2001, 2002. And it was really a group of people that got together to try to kind of organize and synchronize events that were happening. So, because a number of individuals and organizations had events and no one had a sense of all that was going on in the city. So as a small city, you know, people felt that maybe we can organize something so that everyone will have a good sense of what's happening during the month of February. And so that sort of coordinating committee was born. And it's changed over the last number of years, but really it's about 8-10 people from different organizations that come together and try to develop, develop events, try to get information about other events that are happening. So all of the events that are happening aren't necessarily from the committee, but organize information.
So what is the objective of Black History Month?
It's really to, I guess, do two things. One is to really recognize the contributions of the black community to sort of Canadian life. And secondly, is really to highlight, February is, I always say February is the shortest and coldest month of the year, and it's hard to do everything to do justice to the contributions of black people in Canada. You know, we've been here since 1603, so like 28 days isn't going to do everything. But really, it's really to help people get a better understanding of the community, to kind of educate people a bit more about what's happening now and what's happened in the past.
Well, black history is Canadian history. It's not, there's no separation, but this month is more just to actually highlight the accomplishments of blacks within Canadian history, correct?
Well, yes and no. I think everyone would like to think, I think everyone would like to think that black history is Canadian history, and to a point it is, but I'm not sure about you, but I went to school in Ottawa, and I took Canadian history, and I learned nothing about the contribution of black people to Canadian history. I knew nothing about that. There's not one mention in any history book that I took, either in grade 10 or grade 13, that spoke about black people in Canada. All I knew was there were a lot of black folks in the States, and I knew a lot of American history and contribution of black people in the United States, and I knew about slavery of Africans in the United States and elsewhere, but there was nothing in Canada, so about Canada. So although Canadian history and black history are linked, there's really nothing about that black history in Canadian history books, at least when I went to high school. It might have changed at this point in time. So I think that what we try to do, many, many organizations across the country, what people try to do during this time in February is really try to highlight some of the contributions, try to position the black community, try to get people to understand that there are a lot of folks that represent the black community in Canada. So the people who've been here for many, 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 many years, there are people who are newly arrived, immigrants. All of those people have contributed greatly to what we have in this country, and we just want people to know a little bit more about that.
You're absolutely correct. We had absolutely no black history in our curriculum that I have. You're a little younger than me, Maha. How about you?
Currently, TD Canada Financial Group, they did a survey, and 32% of Canadians didn't actually know that Black History Month landed in this month. So it just goes to show you that I think it's more of a matter of North American history in general. I think we're so overshadowed by American history and all those, I want to say, landmarks that we've had in time. Over our timeline of history, that I think we didn't pay attention to certain things. We kind of got desensitized to them over time, and we just kind of grouped them together as minority history, and we got overshadowed by I don't want to say the bigger events, but the more vocalized events, the more publicized events, and I think that's what it is. I think it's still an ongoing issue. People aren't fully aware of. I mean, if you ask anybody about Black History Month, guarantee you most people my age will say, "Oh, Martin Luther King," and like that's all that we know. And I think that just goes to show that we are completely overshadowed.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think the other thing is that the Americans have been doing this since the 1920s.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, Black History Week, and then it grew into a month. Canada was only recognized in this country, I think it was Jean Augustin, who was a member of Parliament.
95.
That actually did, you know, bring it to the Canadian Parliament, and that's not that long. That's a few years ago. And so officially being recognized is kind of lately. So there's always going to be that sense of there's more. I mean, the United States, I mean, there are more Black folks in the United States than there are people in Canada. So, of course, mm-hmm. there's going to be more understanding and knowledge of the history of the United States, people like Martin Luther King. But there have been lots of people who've contributed greatly in Canada, and one of the things that the Coordinating Committee tries to do is there's a program at museum, at the Children's Museum, in a couple of weeks, and we try to make sure that that is one of our programs, and that's obviously being organized by Christina Lord. But it's an example of trying to let young kids understand a bit more, so people can start at an earlier age to get a sense of you know, the families and young kids can get a sense of Black History Month. So that's actually on the 25th and 27th of February at Children's Museum, Children's Program.
I think with all of these education packages and everything else, you have to start with the youth.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So what involvement has the school board had this year in Black History Month?
In a direct way, I would say, as far as I'm understanding, not a lot. I mean, but we have reached out to schools. You know, a lot of this information goes to many of the schools within the London school board. You know, we try to, you know, connect to the parents to try to encourage them to bring the youth and the children out to events. And, you know, I think that officially, you know, although there might not be any direct school board involvement, there are people who are connected to the school board who are involved in the committee and who kind of bring those messages to the board and to the schools. And we try to make sure that we get young people connected that way.
For our listeners, that children's program is at the London Regional Children's Museum on Warncliffe Road.
Right.
So, and let's see, $6 per person, children under 2 free, and you can contact Christina at 519-850-9997. So we're going to get as many families out on that one. And that one's on... What's the date on that one?
Well, the Friday event is free. It's Friday the 26th. The 5 to 8 Friday evening event is free. And then Saturday all day, 10 to 4, that event is the one that costs $6 a person and $2. Children under 2 have made it free. So that event is you know, full day Saturday, and Friday evening is a free event. And the closing gala is Thursday, February 25th. That's sort of our big event, and that's held London, the Central Public Library, Wolf Performance Hall, and that features Denise Pelly and Sadat and a lot of artists from London, and that's $10 for adults and children, $5, 12 and under. And that's a big event, and that's always a lot of fun. And it's 6:30 p.m. on the 25th.
And people can get tickets at the door for that?
At the door, they can get them at Festival Food Market. They can get them at Cross Cultural Learner Center. Councillor Harold Usher, he's the organizer of this event. He's the sort of producer. You can get them from him at, 519-686-7502. And the Central Public Library as well, Community Outreach area at the library.
I think I'm personally looking forward to it. I can't wait to actually go to this. So
and there are also events that, you know, are in Woodstock. There are events that are in Buxton at Buxton Museum.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there are events. I was at an event on Sunday at Eldon House, and that was a talk about sort of passage, the Underground Railroad, and the history of blacks in southwestern Ontario. That was a very good presentation by actually a PhD student from the University of Western Ontario, Claudine Bonner. And that was a very good event. And there's another event, I think, in 2 weeks at Eldon House as well. So there are events held that we as a committee have organized, and the events that other people have organized. We try to keep on top of what's happening so we can let people know what's happening across the city.
And where is the best place for people to go to get information on the events that are happening?
They can go to Cross Cultural Learner Center's website. We have a page on that website. Just, I think, click on Black History Month. And they can pull down a schedule and print it off. They can touch base with the museum and the library and Eldon House. And each of those places have particular activities over the course of this month.
And that's really great. I mean, we're only talking about the events that are happening all across Ontario, and really what I really like about it is we're celebrating as a collective strength in a way. We're celebrating as one, and I really do respect that. I respect the fact that there are so many people who are looking towards change and towards progress, and they're becoming more aware and they want to learn. And I like that it's not just certain committees that are in communities that are being involved, but it's all across, and it's all genders, it's all ages. It's amazing. It really is. It shows you just how proud we are to be as one.
Yeah, absolutely. And their events are happening at the university. There's the Black Students Association have an event. So there are a number of events that are happening. So it's really a great, you know, I think the only problem sometimes that I have personally is that, you know, we packed so much into February.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the year, there's not as much happening. So, but this is certainly an opportunity for people to kind of get out. And this is a great February so far. So the weather's been great, so people can get out and enjoy.
And I mean, that's also part of the criticism. I'm glad that you brought that up, because a lot of people have criticized how we compact everything into 1 month, and how it kind of devalues. It takes away from the history. It takes away from the cause. Do you believe that is true, that it is devaluing it, or do you think that we need more time just to kind of go through everything, or do you think it should be part of a daily integration just in our everyday history?
Well, for me, the way that I learn about Black history wasn't waiting until February.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what February is an opportunity to get their taste buds wet, or their feet wet, or get to understand a bit. So then the rest of the year is up to them. They don't need us to organize something for them. If they're very much interested in Black history, then it's incumbent for them themselves to find out more for themselves and their kids. So I think it's easy to be critical, but you have to take some onus on yourself to get out there and find out, pick up books and read. I mean, you know, for me, you know, Black literature wasn't part of the English program when I was in high school.
Absolutely.
I had to find those authors myself. I had to find them myself. So people have to sort of take it upon themselves to go out and learn more about themselves if they're so interested.
Yes,
and we just try to facilitate for a few weeks in February things happening.
And it's very true. I mean, there's a huge difference between getting used to an issue to accepting an issue. And I think that is a problem. But I do agree with you that, you know, when you get people used to this routine of having it during February, and I mean also it is honoring the birthdays of isn't it Abraham Lincoln's birthday and Frederick Douglass's birthday as well?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah.
And in the U.S. they have a holiday almost the end of January for Martin Luther King. So. And that took a lot of years of many people advocating for that holiday.
Exactly.
So we can do the same thing. There are people within Canada that have contributed greatly to this country, and some of those people we should be advocating to get a holiday for some of those people as well, or for one of those people. So I think it's up to us to do that as the community. Because it's not going to be done by, you know, premises isn't going to get one day. It says, let's honor, Harry Jerome or let's have Howard McCurdy or someone else. We don't have to do it ourselves. Do our best.
Hopefully this show and other shows like that, I'm sure as media liaison for the committee, you've been doing media spots all over the place. So hopefully, this month, and I think especially with U.S. President Obama and... that amazing election. Hopefully, we're starting to put these issues on the forefront of people's.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, you're right.
So, thank you very much, Carl, for speaking
with
us.
Thank you, Carl.
Thank you very much. We'll chat with you again.
Okay, look forward to it, and hopefully we'll see you at the closing gala there.
For sure.
Okay, great.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye. Welcome back to Between the Margins on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. Thank you very much to Carl Katagen, and now we have a special interview with Heather Taylor, who spent her teenage years working at the North American Black History Museum. She's an advocate for black rights and black women's rights, and she's an aspiring school teacher.
My name is Heather Taylor, and I grew up in Harrow, Ontario, and I am currently at the Faculty of Education in Windsor.
And what are you doing at the Faculty of Education?
I am currently getting my teaching certificate in the Junior Intermediate Division, so I can teach anything between grade 4 and grade 10.
My son's in high school, and we are just having a conversation after he got home from school about what they'd done in his school about Black History Month. And we came up with, they saw a film about Martin Luther King, and we saw, and they're going to see something about a girl from New Orleans.
Yep. I think it's really important to obviously acknowledge, the famed Martin Luther King, and especially in American history, because American history is quite significant. But I also, I think that it's important to acknowledge local black history in particular, since we are a border city from Windsor, and we do have an enriched history, a whole smorgasbord of it, and I think that it's really important to acknowledge black women such as Marion Shad or the first black lawyer was from Windsor. His name was Dallas Davis, and he became a lawyer in 1886, and I think that our history is definitely really important. So it's really nice that they're acknowledging Black history, but it's also nice to acknowledge the local history for Black History Month as well, especially being Canadian.
Considering there is so much of it that is out there, the Underground Railway that involved no railway, that, in my opinion, is one of the greatest accomplishments of Canada as a country.
Most certainly, definitely. As soon as, they would cross over onto Canadian soil, it was known as the Great Canaan, a blessed place where slavery had been abolished 30 years prior to the United States. And because of that, I think the mentality might have changed a little bit, but it's a little bit more complicated than that, I would definitely have to say. slavery was abolished, not for the original reason of mortality, but more so it just economically wasn't really needed around here as it was in the South. Obviously, you have your sugar plantations and your plantations in the South that definitely needed institutionalized slavery, whereas in the North, it was abolished because institutionalized slavery simply wasn't needed anymore. But a good thing did come out of it. The mental state of society did change because of that, and that's when mortality did certainly start to kick in. So Canada is definitely known as the Great Canon because of that, because slavery was abolished 30 years before, definitely.
You mentioned Marianne Chat.
Yeah.
Who's that?
She was actually a black African-American, African-Canadian teacher from Windsor, and she's thought to be, I think, an important figure because she was a woman as well, and she sort of had like that double prejudice against her with her gender as well as her race. There's actually she was born to free parents in Wilmington, Delaware, and she was the oldest of 13 children. And her education came from Quakers. Later on, she taught throughout the northeastern state. There's a lot of other people that followed in her footsteps, and I think that she sort of set the reputation for black women, especially from Windsor. She took on, she wrote educational booklets about the advantages for Canadian settlers, willing to work. So she did several things surrounding her teaching career. She's very important. She's very important to me, I think.
Kind of one of your role models, becoming a teacher yourself?
Definitely. Oh, most certainly.
When we talk about black female and the gender differences and the multiple marginalizations and the intersections there, how does that interplay?
I think that if I'm talking about women that are black that had a double oppression against them, that's just an example. We can use like those examples in order to fight for equality for everybody. And I think that that was like the smartest way that women with oppressions had against them, and black women for that matter, considering we're talking about Black History Month, I think that double oppressions against them, when they would fight for everyone at large, it helped them with their personal rights.
Yeah, the compounded oppression piece is always, I mean, when you're black, female, disabled, yet they just keep adding up, and the systemic marginalization that you face just keeps getting higher and higher and higher.
But yeah.
Yes, I do understand that, you know, when you're fighting alongside other disabled people, for example, for equal rights and equal access as a black woman, for example, then that helps to build those bridges.
Right, definitely. I think that it's important to look at it in a larger picture, and in order to do that, you have to look at individual examples. So important. It's sort of, it's sort of like when you're looking at history, you have to not only look at the top figures, as we mentioned before, but you have to look at the people from the bottom that aren't always necessarily mentioned. Those individuals are so significant in fighting for like their individual examples and their achievements and their ways that they made is such a good way to kind of understand how people at whole were sort of fought for their equality, you know?
Exactly. So as a black female, what mark would you give society on a report card?
I think now it's improved. We've come a long way in the learning process. Before, it wasn't always that way, of course. Some of the things that actually occurred locally around here, you didn't have to necessarily go below Mason-Dixon lines to see prejudice. But I think before, I would have probably have given it an F, to be honest. But obviously, as time has gone on, I feel that I've personally grown up in a time where I've been blessed, where I've had opportunities that different of even my father and my grandfather. So with that improvement, I think we could roll in, maybe with a B, B minus. It's never going to be perfect. I think that there's always going to be something. But I can definitely say that there is huge improvements, and I see huge light shed on that, and we can see that placed at places such as the University of Windsor, where they do acknowledge Black History Month. I can definitely give a mark, a huge improvement mark on that. definitely.
I think Black History Month is going to go a long way. It's fairly new in Canada, and it's probably going to go a long way in helping Canadians bridge that gap. What do you think?
I think so. I think it definitely could use more acknowledgement in Canada in particular, and I think that by doing that, yeah, there is definitely going to be like a bridging mark between like Canada and the U.S. when it comes to acknowledging figures in Black History Month. So I think that we do need to strive for that as Canadians, and I think that we need to continue to acknowledge that in order for us to educate, you know, the younger generation. So I think it is really important to continue doing that. I think that we're getting there, and I think that it's important considering we did abolish slavery, again, going back 30 years before the United States, and I think that that's pretty symbolic as well. So,
yeah, we abolished it 30 years before, but we acknowledged Black History Month so much later.
Yeah, and I see that too, and it's almost like you're dealing with two different personalities, Canada and U.S. You know, there's like these two different, I mean, it seems as if U.S. goes into a little bit bolder. They don't hold back on Black History Month, but for some reason, as Canadians, we've sort of held back on that, and I'm not sure if it's because they feel the need that they don't need to acknowledge it because they felt that, you know, we abolished slavery before them, so do we need to acknowledge it as much as them? And most certainly I think that we do because, I mean, my dad, like, he went to a segregated school in the 60s, and that was not even allowed, and that was out in the county about half an hour from here. And, I mean, that was something that was still going on. And, again, you didn't have to go to the South to see that. It was going on right at our doorstep. So I think that Canadians do need to continue emphasizing the importance of Black History Month, the importance it holds not just for blacks but for whites, for everybody. So definitely as a society where we are, where we have a huge range of diversities, acknowledging Black History Month should be incorporated in that a little bit more.
Or the education should be actually
for
incorporated
sure.
into the entire year.
Yeah, definitely. I think that it does start with the education system because the more you know, the more you can acknowledge, right? So for sure, I agree with that.
So when we talk about that curriculum piece and our other guest that we had on, he talked about going to school in Ottawa, and I had put to him that Canadian history is Black history as well, and vice versa, that there shouldn't be a separation. One should be the same, and he brought it to my attention that he didn't learn any Black history in school. What do we do about that?
Well, we correct it. We try to incorporate it now because, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the past, but there's certainly something you can do for our future. There's no way of putting a Band-Aid on the mistakes that have been made because it's already there. It's already been in place, but there is certainly a way to improve our future by incorporating and pushing for Black history and acknowledging that. And the way to start is by what we're doing exactly right now, discussing it and bringing it to everyone's attention, not just teachers from the classroom where they pick and choose from their curriculum whether they decide or not decide to teach it, but to sort of incorporate it as a mandatory, something that's more mandatory, because there's so much fluidity, I find, that sometimes people are afraid of touching on those topics. Some people are afraid of the word black, and some people are afraid to get their information twisted because it's black history. There's something about the history of it that people get really touchy about it because of what happened. But I think that if we go in with effort and we come out with some information, that's better than nothing.
And as long as everybody works together towards equality, I think that, I mean, language barriers and culture barriers, they can be barriers, or they can be, you know, assets, and they can be ways to strengthen relationships.
Right, exactly. And like I said before, I think that as Canadians, like everybody, like I think that it is improving. It has improved. There's no way to, I really wouldn't believe it to say that it hasn't improved, because like I've felt opportunities and I've had opportunities that my father didn't have, and I think that shows me personally that there are improvements, and Canadians are certainly trying to make some sort of strive towards acknowledging topics such as Black History Month, and also taking Black History Month and sprinkling it throughout the entire year. So I think that there is an improvement, but I also feel that we need to continue to strive and sort of blow it up the way the United States has done it. So,
well, having a Black president has definitely brought it to the forefront.
Oh yeah,
that's
definitely an indication right there, for sure, definitely.
I can say that Canada has come a long way. I actually have a boat in the Caribbean at the U.S. Virgin Islands, mm-hmm. and the segregation between Black and white on that island is unbearable for me when I go and visit.
Really?
It is so back in the dark ages, and you know, the west end of the island is mostly white and the east end of the island is mostly Black, and racial slurs are commonplace and the N-word is thrown out like happenstance. So I've experienced those cultures where people don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it makes me cry when I go down there. And
yeah, definitely. Especially since you're coming from an area where it is better than other parts of the world, you know? I think that's, you know, the whole reason between, like, it goes back to your mental, like, your ideas and how you've been brought up and how you've understood things and the opportunities that have been given to you. You're educated, you understand, you know, so to go to an area like that becomes almost absurd, especially when you're talking, it's 2010, like 10 years into the new millennium, and we're still talking about the tragedy of racism that still exists in the world. It's really sad.
It is extremely sad, and the horrible jokes that came out of the island and my friends down there when Obama was elected, I still try to be that naive girl back in grade school that, you know, if you're my friend, you're my friend, and it didn't matter anything else.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I always try to place myself mm-hmm. in the world, and then all of this hatred always keeps creeping into my naivete, and I never know what to do with that.
It's funny because as soon as society feels as if they've made an accomplishment, I think that if we were to just stop, wipe our hands clean, and say our work is done, we're so far from that. I think that as soon as we start to just say our work is done, that we're in fact in the worst position ever. So as Canadians, we need to continue to look abroad and say, hey, like, we've improved in acknowledging those that have been discriminated against, but we need to continue to spread that and continue to teach and continue to learn ourselves and continue to spread that, because slavery still exists in the world. Racism still exists, and for anyone to sort of ignore that idea or to say, oh, no, it's better, well, they're extremely far from any realistic idea. So, yeah, our work is certainly not done, because it doesn't just stop at Canadian borders. I think that it goes beyond.
People that are facing the oppression and the people that are allies need to speak out in a common voice and just never ever rest.
Definitely. By resting, I think that's actually trapping. It's as if you're trapping yourself. You can't rest when things are still taking place in the world. It's just really actually quite silly to just rest. Got to keep working. We're still alive. You got to keep going.
I was doing a show last week on disability and the Paralympics,
mm-hmm.
and dealing with those athletes that are faced with some pretty substantial challenges in their lives. And one of them that comes to mind is the comedian Josh Blue.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when I asked him about what he would say to that youth person that is facing a disability and is facing the systemic discriminations and mm-hmm. and the layers and you know, how do you go on? And he said that sometimes it's just your lot in life to educate.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying is some of us were born with more of the need to educate than others.
I believe that. I certainly do believe that. I believe that, I don't know if it has something to do with just like some people can communicate their ideas a little bit better than others, but it doesn't go to say that, that someone that can't communicate their ideas as well, that they don't have that the ideas are not there. I think that, I think it's just a difference between those that can communicate their ideas and those that have the idea, but they just don't know how to communicate their idea. So it's as if there's no really sense in having the idea unless you do something about it. So it's those putting things into action, it just sort of makes a difference between those that want to put something into action and then those that just don't.
Sometimes just being successful, I think, can be an action all on its own.
Yeah, definitely. But I think that behind success comes some sort of action as well. I don't think that success just comes. I think that I don't think that it's just a natural thing. I really believe that success comes with hard work, and I think that I think that behind that hard work is an action that takes place, and people that from our past that have fought for equality, the equality just didn't get itself there. It came with some sort of action behind it
and price tags.
Oh, most certainly, can't go without it.
Great. Okay. Well, is there anything else that you'd like to add, Heather?
You know what? Just a message, again, just reiterating, to continue spreading the word of Black History Month. And I thank you so much for acknowledging it and continue with your show. It's greatly appreciated. I appreciate it alongside with everyone else around here. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for coming on with us today.
Definitely, thank you.
Take it out to the world. Tell every boy and every little girl. Be proud of yourself. Cause you're as good as anybody else. Put away your prejudice. Open your mind, don't need to stick to this. Try to make this earth a better place without a racial curse.
Yeah, time for some changes, y'all.
You've been listening to Between the Margins on CHRW Radio 94.9 FM. I'm Michelle Boyce.
And I'm Maha El-Sabawi.
And special thanks to our guests, Carl Katajan and Heather Taylor, and all of the other voices that you've heard today. Look forward to our next show on the 15th,
mm-hmm.
Monday the 15th at 11 a.m. We have LGBT parenting issues on Family Day. How appropriate. You can catch up to us on Twitter and on our blogs and our website to listen to previous shows at www.betweenthemargins.ca. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Better than our fathers did. Let's make some love, baby. Have some kids. And I don't care what color they are, or you are, or we are. It's all love.
Could have been my brother, but if you were my sister, if you were my father, I could have been your fella, you could have been